This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
CJ McCollum is going to join us in about 22 minutes from right now. We'll get his take on the Knicks and all sorts of NBA topics. Why don't we focus our attention for a few minutes here on the New York Knicks? How are you feeling? Because now, I mean, you know what's amazing to me? What's the series? There's a series, is it Philadelphia and Boston? This is so bizarre to me, that played after the Knicks and now will play before the Knicks as well. Isn't that ridiculous?
The NBA schedule is...
It is asinine is what it is.
Yep.
Right, you get game two of Philadelphia and Boston after the Knicks game two, and then you get game three of Philadelphia-Boston before you get game three of the Knicks.
That makes no sense.
It makes zero sense. But how are you feeling? So now we've gotten through a couple days. Knicks had their win. No Jimmy Butler in game two. You're off Wednesday. You're off Thursday. You'll be off today. Back at it tomorrow. What is the temperature of how you're feeling about the New York Knicks right now?
I'm anxious.
Yeah, me too.
I'm anxious. I mean, it's... I got to be honest with you. Like, coming off that game two win, and I know it was harder than a lot of people thought it should have been. But who cares? A win's a win. I didn't want to wait this long. I know. I mean, it's to Julius Randle's benefit and to Jalen Brunson's benefit because I think they're kind of underplaying his injury. But it also benefits Jimmy Butler in the fact that, I mean, I guess how I'm feeling is Jimmy Butler didn't play. And we all understand how good he is in the playoffs. And you had your hands full in game two. So, I think the Knicks are the better team. I think the Knicks...
Are they, though?
I think they're the better team. I do.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I don't mean to argue. It's just like in watching the first two games of the series, it'd be a hard discussion to make, a hard argument to make that the Knicks are the better team.
I think they should be the better team.
Okay.
Maybe that's a better way to put it. I think they should be the better team. I think when you look at what the Knicks bring to the table as opposed to what Miami does, and Miami's got a terrific coach, they play hard, and Jimmy Butler is awesome, and you got a couple guys that stepped up, right? Gabe Vincent stepped up. Caleb Martin stepped up. But, I mean, you got 79 combined points from your big three. Hartenstein was great. Josh Hart was great. I'm hoping at some point IQ shows up. Would be nice. That would help.
Grimes showing up would help.
But this is going to be a hard-fought, like, each team throwing a shot and see how the other team responds to it.
Yeah, this is not Cleveland. This is a completely different animal, right? You're not going to out-coach and out-maneuver Spoelstra. Their big player, even their role players, I mean, their role players came to play on the road. I mean, Martin is a role player. Gabe Vincent is maybe a glorified, you know, role player. Like, these are role players, and they show up continuously, and they play well. Their defense is tough. They rebound. I mean, I know the Knicks have won the rebounding battle, but it feels like this is a tougher team than Cleveland was. And for everything that Donovan Mitchell was supposed to be, Jimmy Butler is that guy. Like, Jimmy Butler will rip your heart right out from your chest. So you say you think the Knicks are better, and I hope you're right. I just, having watched the first two games, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not raining on the Knicks game two victory at all. But it's hard for me to watch the first two games in the series and definitively say the Knicks are the better basketball team.
Well, no, I don't think you can definitively. I mean, the series is tied at one. And when they had Jimmy Butler, they won game one. You get Julius Randle back for game two. You win game two without Jimmy Butler. So, it's tough to really, it's tough to really say who the better team is. In my heart, I believe the Knicks should be the better team. I mean, do I think that Jalen Brunson, with a couple extra days here, will have a more complete game? I mean, he struggled in the first half of game two, but was great in the second half. I think that, Julius Randle was, he had a really good game. He had the 8 assists. He was great, but a couple extra days? Are you going to get a better version of him? R.J. Barrett, outside of the first two games against Cleveland, has been consistently really good. And what I liked about game two, outside of the fact that you shot 40% from three, was how you finished the game. I mean, you went on a 24-12 run to finish that game.
Yeah. Well, you were in a tenuous situation.
Right. You were down 6 with 7 minutes to go. Yeah.
That's scary stuff. Let's take a listen to some of the particulars. Tom Thibodeau, quick soundbite. How's Jalen Brunson feeling?
Jalen didn't do much today, day-to-day.
All right, so day-to-day. So
I don't love that.
Yeah, you don't love it. Oh, how could you possibly love it? Now, but going off of that, he was questionable heading into game two, and he was sensational.
Second half, he was great, yeah.
Sensational. All right, Julius Randle, what's the update on you? How's the ankle?
Like I said, I try not even think about it, man. It doesn't matter at this point. I'm healthy enough. I feel good enough to play. I feel great. So, that's where my focus stays.
I mean, what's he supposed to say? He's clearly not 100%.
Well, he said like 15. That was a word salad. I feel good enough. I feel great. No, you said it. You feel...
It's bothering you.
You don't feel great. You're battling through it to get yourself on the court.
That's exactly right. Are you surprised by how well you played with the ankle in game two?
No. I've talked all year about the mental, so at this point in the season, that's just what it is. The body will do what the mind tells it to do. So,
guy's tough, I'll tell you that.
The guy's a warrior, man. That's why I have such a hard time. I know what happened when we first got him, and he drove me crazy, and I know what happened last season. But, I mean, he kind of embodies what you're looking for, right? Guy shows up every game.
100%. He really is the perfect version of the New York player, right?
Yeah, outside of whatever happened. I mean, for whatever reason, last year happened, and he reacted to it the way he did. But
he's a tough guy. He wants to be here. He's going to leave everything on the court. He's physical. He's aggressive. Like, he really – and you know I'm not the biggest Julius Randle fan, but there's something very New York about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lunch pail kind of guy. Like, he's going to give you whatever he has. That's all you can ask for, man.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. What do you anticipate crowd-wise to be in Miami tomorrow?
I'm hoping there's a lot of Knicks fans. I would imagine there's going to be a lot of Knicks fans. In my experience in Florida, like, I mean, anytime we played the Panthers, I know that's not in Miami, but still, like, we had a huge amount of fans show up for those games.
So you think I can get 40% Knicks fans tomorrow?
I don't know about 40. That's a
33.
Lot.
33. One out of every three people that walks into the building is a Knicks fan.
I think you might, yeah.
25%. One of every four that walks into the building will be a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Josh Hart was talking about that. They asked him why they play so good on the road, and that was one of the things he pointed to, was how well the Knicks fan travels.
Well, because, I mean, New York fans are elite. When you go anywhere around the country, I mean, Ranger fans, you've gone to Ranger games all over the place. They always have people there, always.
Oh, plus Florida, though, too. I mean, there's a lot of New Yorkers living in Florida now.
Well, there's a lot of New York in Florida, right? I mean, everyone moves down there when they get old.
And plus, if you're in New York and the weather here hasn't been great, games on Saturday afternoon, why not head down to Miami for a weekend?
I bet you tickets are cheaper down there than they are up here.
Have to be. They'd have to be.
I wish we were going to these games.
Miami would be fun. Really fun.
Would be great.
I can't skip my son's communion. I can't hate
Cass. No, I think that'd be a bad look. I would respect it, though.
Boy, I know you would respect it. I'd be sleeping on your couch, probably.
Well, you're welcome. We have a newish couch, too. I think you'd love it. And we don't even let the dogs on the couch, so I think you'd have a great time on that couch.
Sounds great.
And it's an L-shaped couch, so you can really spread yourself out.
Oh, that sounds beautiful.
How does it play out? Cass, listen, I want to be at the communion, but I was invited to the Knicks Heat game Saturday in Miami, so I'm going to go to that. Is that the end of you guys?
No. There's no end to us.
There's no end? Okay. Is it a long, drawn-out conversation?
No.
She just says, okay, have a great time.
Probably. Not have a great time. There would be some kind of like... The conversation would have me where I would be like, there's no way I can go. It's just, it's not.
So she would reverse it on you, like a suplex.
Suplex, and then also she would make me feel like, are you going to miss your son's communion?
How about if you said, listen, work is demanding that we go down to the games and we do a show live before the game and then we attend the game and then we do the same thing for Monday? He said, I don't want to go, but there's no choice but to go.
I think she would be disappointed that I had to do it, but because it was work, I think she would be more understanding. Yeah, like I'm sure she wasn't thrilled that I had to go to Vegas, but it was for work. So she's like, yeah, you got to do it. It's for work.
Right. You got to do it. Here is Josh Hart. You mentioned him. Explains the mentality heading into this all important Game 3.
In the NBA season, man, there's wins and losses, big wins, big losses. You got to be even. I think that's the biggest thing. The biggest thing, you can't get too happy, too overconfident, and you can't be too down in the dumps. So for us, we just got to make sure we're locked in and we just play our game. I don't think it's any added confidence. I feel like we had confidence going into game one. I feel like we had confidence going into game two. You know what I mean? So obviously when you win, you feel better. And I'm happy we won, because these 3-4 days off would have been miserable if we lost. So, but we're going in there just as confident as we are every game.
He is very calming to hear discuss things with the Knicks.
Well, I think it's a kid, too. I mean, we keep pointing to the Villanova kids, but I mean, when you look at what Jalen Brunson is and what Josh Hart is and Kyle Lowry, I mean, I think when you get coached the right way, I mean, a lot of what you say in front of a microphone as a player is kind of what you've heard from your coaches, and that's the right attitude to have, man. I mean, it's a roller coaster of the playoffs, and I'm sure Miami feels equally as confident, because all they're selling to themselves is, look how hard we made it in New York.
Right.
On them without our best player.
I mean, if you take a step back and you say which team should feel better after two games, I mean, I'm sorry, I think it's Miami. Miami beat you in game one on your home court, and I know you didn't have Randle, I get it. And then game two, where they didn't have their best player, they gave you everything you could handle and then some.
And you had Randle back, yeah.
And that's on your home court. Now they go to their home court, and you have to assume Jimmy Butler's going to play and be somewhat healthy. If I take a step back and look at this rationally, I think Miami should be more pleased than the Knicks right now.
I think you're right. And that's the mental gymnastics.
And then maybe, listen, that can by 6 o'clock tomorrow, it could be completely changed. Knicks go out, win that game, all that changes.
All that changes. Listen, game three is one of those swing games in a series. You find a win. If you're the Knicks, you find a way to win game three. All the pressure in the world is on the Heat for game four.
Oh, my God. If you can win game three, it all shifts. But that's how important that game is tomorrow. And thank God there's not like 5 days in between game three and game four.
Yeah, now as soon as game three is done,
then we play.
Now we're rolling.
Yeah, and then we play. Let's go to some of the calls. Let's go to Louie in Long Beach. Louie, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
So, question. I just want to piggyback on what you guys were talking about. Who's better, the Heat or the Knicks? Obviously, I'm a Knicks fan, but if you were going to use both rosters and create a starting five, what would that look like?
I'll play the game. I don't love this game, though, and I'll tell you
why. I think the Knicks have better players.
I think the Knicks are probably more talented.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you don't look at Gabe Vincent and say that oozes talent, but Gabe Vincent's a big-time player for them. You don't look at Caleb Martin and say, I got to draw up a game plan to slow down Caleb Martin, but he's a scary player for them, right? I'll tell you this, Louie, thanks for the call. As a team, they play terrific basketball, Miami.
Yeah, they have a great system there. I mean, they're the sum of their parts with Jimmy Butler as their best player. That's a good team, man. They're a well-coached team. It's kind of like what we were talking about with your guy Brian Daboll. Like, Spo gets the best out of his team. They make adjustments. I mean, it's a well-put-together team. But as far as you start looking at talent, I think the Knicks have more.
I agree. I think the Knicks are more talented. I think Miami gets more out of what they have.
I guess you could put it that way.
Maybe. We'll see. I don't know. I think it's close. Memory retention. How old is Eric Spoelstra?
Eric Spoelstra is 53.
No.
Eric Spoelstra is 52. That was close.
Yeah, but you were close. We went through it like yesterday.
That wasn't yesterday. Spo wasn't yesterday.
It's
2 days ago.
We went through the whole thing, and you knew he was 52, and now I asked the question again, and you have no idea.
Do you understand how much stuff is in my head right now? Like, I got the thing at top mind is how old Eric Spoelstra is?
No, I don't think that should be the thing top mind, but it should be on your – you should know. We just went through it.
That was a year off.
You know how much brain capacity he had to use just to pick his suit for yesterday?
Oh, come on.
It takes a lot.
Suit. I'm studying all these different games.
Now you have your minions defending you here, huh?
How dare you call Raymond a minion?
Well, I mean, that's what he's acting like. He just hops on the microphone now. Now defense.
Let's be fair. You're killing him for being a year off with Eric Spoelstra, and you're a day off for when we talked about it.
Well, you know what? A day's closer than a year.
I can see why Raymond doesn't like you. I can see.
No, you can't.
It all makes sense to me.
He adores me. He absolutely
adores me. You just called him a minion. You have no respect for him.
I have tremendous respect for him. Every morning when I speak to Raymond, how are you? How you feeling? How'd you sleep? Do you do that?
Yeah, I do. Every morning. Every morning.
I do it every single morning. Bring the man beautiful, busting fruit.
That's a minion.
That's a minion.
Oh, I love that. Those are the little yellow guys.
Yes, yes.
I love those guys.
That's what you think of us.
That's how I sounded the day when I tried to say refill.
Yeah.
No refills.
Oh.
Are those the What's the guy's name? Drew or Gru or whatever?
I think it's Gru.
Gru.
Despicable Me. Yes, that's what
I love those little guys.
It's like your waistline, Gru.
Oh, no.
You know, he's GRU.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you jerk. Let's go to Jay in Queens. Jay, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. What you guys had asked before, I think that the Knicks are the better team, but I think the Heat have been playing better in the playoffs in general. They played a better first-round game against the Bucks, and they're hitting on all cylinders. I think the biggest difference between the teams, because they're very similar, is just the consistency, the three-point shooting with Miami. They're more of a threat, and so I think that gives them the edge. And I think their coaching is better as well. They get more from their role players consistently. And Spoelstra out of timeouts, those guys execute at a phenomenal rate. So, you know, if the Knicks can knock down some threes and control their turnovers, they got a chance to go into any arena and win at least one game. And really, that's all we need out of this weekend, is to at least get home court advantage back. And from there, let's see where it goes. Take care, guys. Enjoy the games and have a good weekend.
Oh, what a nice call. I mean, polite, wishing us well. Good points and quick. So as good a call as you can get.
That's the amazing part, though, of what's happening so far this playoffs for the Heat is how well they're shooting from three.
They're unbelievable from three,
and how poorly
you know
they shot.
Also, watch the amount of threes they get and see how many are great looks.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's because they. I mean, it's again speaks to his point about the coaching.
I couldn't agree with you more. But there are certain teams, it's like you shoot 35 threes, and you look at those threes, and 25 are contested. You look at the Heat, and it feels like more often than not, their looks are wide open.
Yeah, but this was not the case during the regular season. I mean, they were the fourth worst three-point shooting team in the NBA during the regular season.
And you figure, they don't have Tyler Hero. And it's gotten better, not worse.
That's amazing.
It really is.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
An A-list guest, a guest that can really break down the NBA like very few can, who's ensconced in the NBA like CJ McCollum. We are sure to snap him up. CJ, Dave, and Rick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. So let's start out, and I know you know, because everyone knows how much New York loves basketball. Knicks are one of eight teams left standing right now. Are you surprised that we sit here into May and the Knicks are 1-1 in the second round of the postseason right now?
No, I'm not surprised. Having played against them a couple times, once in the Garden and then obviously in New Orleans, you understood that they had improved. You understood the impact Jalen Brunson was going to have, and now you're getting to see that firsthand. Thibodeau's a great coach who prides himself on defense. He plays his starters. He continues to develop quick and some of the bench guys, and I think their rotation and ability to play through Julius Randle, play through Jalen Brunson. R.J. Barrett is playing extremely well. He's been really efficient lately, especially the tail end of the first round and early on in this playoff series. They got a lot of weapons, and they got a nice home court advantage in the Garden.
CJ, let me ask you this, because everyone in New York here loves Jalen Brunson, right? And it's hard not to love Jalen Brunson. But for some reason, Julius Randle is very polarizing, including to Dave, who he drives Dave crazy for some reason. As an NBA player, how do you look at Julius Randle as a player?
He's a physical specimen, first of all. Like, he's strong. He's a bully. He gets to that left hand. He can finish around the basket. He's been shooting the three better with a lot of volume, which is important for the game and the points per possession. You understand the importance of his ability to draw fouls, but also the gravity that he has, because he can play in post up and pinch post ISO situations, and then he can run pick and rolls with Jalen and get switches, because obviously Jalen, you know, is very dominant in terms of his ability to take over games, and he's smart about, you know, his shot selection, his ability to score in the paint, but he's very good in pick and roll. So I think it's a really good combination of players together. You got two lefties, three lefties, basically. Three best players are lefties, right? So you're running pick and rolls, he's getting towards the middle, and you got them popping towards cleared sides. I think it's just been very methodical and strategic about how they built this roster and in the player development. But obviously Jalen Brunson, I think he's the key to this team. Obviously Julius Randle is great, but that point guard controls the pace, he controls the tempo, and he's the head of the snake.
So walk us through, and CJ McCollum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We're 1-1 back to Miami. Who do you like to win this series coming through? Best of five, really, now.
Put me in a tough spot here.
That's right. That's what we do.
It's New York radio. But I think, to be honest with you, I really like this Knicks team. I like the way they've continued to develop and grow. But it's just something about that Miami Heat team and how they just figure things out. And Jimmy Butler's got 6 days of rest in between games. He missed game two. He's got 6 days to kind of rest and get ready. I think the winner of game three wins the series. I think historically when it's been 1-1, the team that wins game three wins the series 79% of the time. So I go coin flip, but since it's in Miami, I give Miami the advantage of game three. And since historically speaking, they got an 80% chance of winning, I'm going to go with Miami. But I think this does go seven.
God, he's so well thought out. I hate your answer, but it was very well thought
out.
Yeah,
but you think it goes seven and the Knicks lose game seven at the Garden, CJ?
The pressure.
Oh. CJ, explain crazy. That pressure. CJ, explain that pressure. I want to know, because, I mean, it seems like it affects certain people. Like, IQ could have easily won Sixth Man of the Year, and outside of one game, he's kind of struggled. But on the opposite side of that, like, Jimmy Butler seems to take his game to a whole new level in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's twofold, right? Miami has nothing to lose. They're not supposed to be here. They lost the first playing game. Let's go back to how they got here. They lose the first playing game. They're down with 3 minutes left. They end up coming back and winning that playing game. They play against the Bucks. They win game one. Giannis gets hurt. Lose game two without Giannis. Giannis comes back for game three. They win. You know what I mean? Like, the way they've gotten to this point, it wasn't conventional. Tyler Hero goes out, diving for a loose ball, breaks his hand. They almost beat the Knicks in game two. They basically gave that game away. I was there live. They basically gave that game away. Jimmy gets 6 days rest. I just think that the way this team has been constructed, the way Coach Spoke coaches, the fact that they can mix in zone, I think if it does go to game seven, the fact that the Knicks will be playing at home, I think that's a lot of pressure on a lot of those young guys who haven't been in this situation before. And I think maybe I'm just overly confident in Jimmy Butler because of what he did in that first round of Jrue Holiday and that defense. Maybe I'm just overconfident in him, but I just feel like the Miami Heat are going to win this series because I think they're going to win game three because they're going to make the right adjustments, and Jimmy's going to be so fresh. Like, to get 6 days off in the middle of a playoff series, the Lakers series right now is coming down to fatigue and age, right? Who's going to be faster? Who's going to be stronger? Who's going to be more well-conditioned? And they're playing every other day. I think this is a huge advantage to the Miami Heat because Kyle Lowry and Jimmy Butler are both in their mid to late 30s. and they're getting extra time and ample time to rest, and they're giving Spo more time to kind of figure out how to make adjustments.
You're very good. You have a I mean, you're going to probably take Rick's job. It'll be me and you at some point, CJ. How does McCollum and Rothenberg sound to you? You like the sound of that?
Not bad at all. It sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, we'll do that on the side. So, CJ McCollum with us, of course, here, 98.7 ESPN. You mentioned Eric Spoelstra in passing. Is it crazy for me to make a statement like this? In my mind, I think you could have the best coach in the NBA in Eric Spoelstra.
No, it's not crazy at all. I think, look at their roster right now. Look at who they're playing. They have the most undrafted players on their team, first of all, and they have those guys in rotation playing starters minutes. They just kind of figure out how to mix and match lineups. They figure out how to get things done. I think historically you talk about the Heat culture, you talk about the way they develop players, and how people just buy in defensively to what they're trying to accomplish. He gets a lot out of his guys, and I think he's well-received and perceived across the league from players and staff, as well as the media and fans.
CJ, this is going to be a tough question, but I got to ask it because you're going to take my job at some point, so I figured I should ask it now. New Orleans, we all know what you guys could be capable of doing, but it's just it's that one injury that seems to be holding you guys back. I mean, how frustrating is that? And what do you say to him? Because it's clear that he wants to play. It's just he can't stay healthy.
I think it's frustrating for everybody involved because of the ceiling, right? Like, you understand the basement, you understand the ceiling, and, you know, with a healthy roster, you know, we're getting a home seat, right? We're basement is a 50-win team with a healthy roster. If you think about it, we were number one in the West, and we had 20-something wins, and we were in December. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we were on pace to get, you know, upwards of 50 wins and have a home seat, and I think that's the frustrating part because you understand how good you can be. But you got to be healthy. You got to be whole. And you got to be healthy at the right times. Like, there's going to be injuries that occur. Like, the Lakers went through it. The Warriors went through it. Like, every team goes through it. But if you're healthy at the right time and you're trending upward as you head into the playoffs, that's when you have success. So I think it's just a frustrating time for everybody. Injuries are a part of the game. It's more about how you recover from those injuries and how you learn from them, but also how you better prepare going forward. And I think I've done that. I've learned how to better prepare from injuries, how to treat my body, but also how to make sure that I'm fully healed before I come back. I think that's extremely important. I think we're getting to that point now where guys are understanding how to recover from injuries, but also our staff is figuring out everybody's different. You got to adjust the treatment plans. You got to adjust the recovery timelines, and I hope for the best.
There's been this kind of overall feel around the NBA of players don't want to go and play with the Knicks because it's, so tough to play in New York, and the Knicks are just not a functional franchise. Are we moving past that a little bit where now if you wind up on the Knicks or you're a big-time player and you're thought of as you're going to wind up on the Knicks, that's something that now excites the player around the NBA? Or is it still that, oh, God, I don't want to go there?
I think there's a lot of players that would enjoy playing for the Knicks. The atmosphere, the location, obviously the taxes are very high, but I just think historically it's the Garden, it's the mecca of basketball. Now, I mean, there's rumors and question marks around other things involving the Knicks franchise that I won't go into details with for lots of reasons. But as far as the basketball aspect goes, like, Tib is Tib, right? Like, everybody loves Tibbs. Everybody likes to compete at a high level. And who doesn't want to play in an arena in an atmosphere that's unlike anything that you've probably seen, especially in the mecca of basketball? So I think it's definitely trending upwards. And I think the TV games help, right? Like, that. As a guy who's from Ohio, watching them play against the Cavs in that first round, like, it was rocking on TV. And then I actually physically got to be in the arena, and I'm the type of guy who, like, I just love basketball, right? Like, I really, truly enjoy the game of basketball. I watch it. I study it. I'm super curious about arenas. I'm super curious about what goes into preparation. So I've been to finals games in the Bay. I've been to finals games in Boston. I've seen what it's like to be, you know, in the midst of chaos. Like, I sat, like, right behind the basket. I've sat in the stands, you know, at the half-court line, 20 rows up, you know, in the Oracle when LeBron's at the peak of his powers. And to be able to be in those environments and see it is unlike anything I've ever seen. I think it gives you a greater appreciation of sports, but also fans and how passionate they are. So I say all this to say that the Knicks have passionate fans. A lot of leagues, a lot of teams have passionate fans. So it's really cool to see different arenas and be inside of them. But obviously, I'd like to play in the finals sooner than later.
CJ, gut feeling, you play with him, and I know, I mean, he said time and time again that he wants to stay in Portland. Dame, you think he stays there, or at some point does he try to win a championship somewhere else? Maybe in New York.
In my heart of hearts.
Yeah.
In my heart of hearts, man, I don't know that he stays.
Wow.
That's not me talking to him and asking him questions. That's just me watching from afar.
Yeah.
I think he's a very loyal person. He loves it there. He's rooted there. His whole family is there. So it's hard for me to see him leaving, but in my heart of hearts, like if I had to bet money, I would say at some point I think he leaves.
Wow.
New York Knicks, here we come.
That's right. You can come along with it
too. I'm not saying this summer. I'm not, like, I just think in my heart of hearts at some point. I think at some point, like, and I don't know if that's necessarily like him asking out or the organization just kind of deciding, like, you know what? This is the direction we want to head in. Like, you know what I mean? As time goes on,
yeah.
If you can't win a championship and that's what he wants, right? Like, what do you do? What are your options?
Yeah, you got to
move on.
And if
you can get the right
point.
Pieces in a trade, like, then it could be a situation in which it's good for both parties.
Listen, you're terrific. Here's what I'd like to offer. I know you got to go run, do a million things up at ESPN. Would you like to come on with us again at any point? Because we'd love to have you.
For sure. For sure, man. At some point, I would love to. My schedule's a little hectic right now, but we'd love to come on again at some point.
All right. Yeah, I want to talk wine, CJ, at some point. CJ just bought a vineyard. I want to talk wine with CJ.
Oh, Rick's he's like a sommelier in his other life. So it'll work out beautifully. CJ, you're terrific. Thank you. Enjoy the postseason. We'll talk to you soon, I hope.
All right. Thank you.
Good stuff. It was very good.
Yeah, and he said the magic words to Dave Rothenberg to be a fan for life. I love basketball. I watch basketball. I study basketball.
Yeah.
You perked right up.
Why is that a bad thing?
Because it's like your favorite thing when an athlete says that. And then when an athlete tells you, nah, I really don't watch any of it.
I couldn't be more turned off.
You quit on the whole interview's over for you.
That's right. I can't get past that. You tell me, like, I don't really like watching football. I'm not interested. You play football. How are you not interested? Yes.
It's your livelihood. Yeah.
Yes. It completely turns me off. He's very good, though. I liked him very much.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I'll tell you what I like, though, too, which is good to hear because, I mean, people yell at us or mean tweets when we say, you know, it's Madison Square Garden, the allure of Madison Square Garden, the Mecca basket. He said it.
Right.
That's an NBA. That's the president of the NBA's Player Association. That just said it.
Yeah, he's got a lot to offer. He's a good player, too. He drove me crazy back in the day. Anybody remember where he went to college?
Lehigh.
Look at you.
Yes.
And you remember who they beat in the first round? And I don't remember what year it was. Maybe
Georgetown.
No, they beat Duke.
Oh, Duke. He loved Duke, too.
They beat Duke, and he almost single-handedly led his team past Duke, and I was very upset with that.
He's a good player.
Very good player. Let's go to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Brandon in Miami, home of the enemy. Good morning, Brandon. You're on 98.7. Uh-oh.
Brandon.
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can now, Brandon. How are you?
Hello.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing good. What's going on?
So I just wanted to give a call. I know you guys were speaking earlier about Chris's son's, Rick's son's communion this weekend and right. The Miami Heat game. You know, it's also the F1 race in Miami this weekend. Oh. So city is going to be pretty much on fire. But I just wanted to talk a little, Knicks. You know, Emmanuel Quickley, I think, has to be the catalyst. He has not shown up in the playoffs. And he's averaging, for a sixth man of the year candidate, he was averaging 15 points a game this season. He's nearly averaging half that in the playoffs. Now, I understand Brunson is absolutely balling, and the only way Quickley really gets court time is if Brunson gets in foul trouble or on the bench. But is there any way that they can roll in Brunson and Quickley on the court at the same time to get Quickley rolling? Because I really feel like if Quickley plays like he did in the regular season, you know, the Knicks have, I mean, they have a shot with Quickley playing as is, because why fix something that's not broken? They're winning right now. But if he can produce what he did in the regular season, you know, they can go on a run.
But he's not playing like that now.
Yeah, but he hasn't, though. Right? That's the problem.
I mean, he's had the opportunity. He's not that guy at the moment. So I don't know how you fix that. I mean, it feels to me like, and I hate to say this, like this moment, I hate to say too big, but it kind of feels like that a little bit right now.
Well, you heard C.J. McCollum. I mean, C.J. McCollum pretty much said if it goes to Game 7, he's concerned about the young guys with that kind of pressure. And right now, IQ, for as good as he was during the regular season, I mean, he played 9 minutes in Game 2. Nine. That's it. And I think he should have won Sixth Man of the Year. And again, I mean, Brogdon wins it, but still, like, I had high hopes for IQ coming into the playoffs.
No, let's be fair. He is underwhelmed in the postseason.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you have, I don't know if I would have used the word catalyst. I mean, Jalen Brunson is the catalyst of this team. He's the one that makes this team go. But yeah, I mean, if you could give me the regular season version of IQ, I'd feel a whole hell of a lot better about the series.
I think the expectations coming into the postseason were that Quickley would be better. I mean, when you really look at it, Quickley, Grimes have really underwhelmed you so far in this in this playoffs.
That's right.
And that's even a series they won in five games. If you include that and these two games, both guys have not done what you were hoping they were going to do. And I know that Grimes had the shoulder injury, but still, even before the shoulder injury, he wasn't great.
No, he wasn't. He was overwhelmed. I mean, you had IQ had the game five against Cleveland that was a good game, and outside that, really,
really very little.
Hasn't been the same player.
Now, I guess you could look at that as somewhat as a positive of look where they are, and they haven't even gotten contributions from a lot of these guys off the bench and guys that they, you know, were expecting to give you something. But on the flip side, they didn't do it at home in games one and game two. Do you anticipate that it's going to get better on the road in game three and four?
I would say probably not. I wouldn't bet on it. I hope, but I wouldn't bet
on it. Of course you hope, but it's just, it's an unknown. And you're gonna need somebody to step up. Somebody outside of the big three, I guess, to step up. Because Hart's going to do what he does. Hart's going to rebound and defend and hit the big shot. Hopefully RJ continues, Randall continues, Brunson continues. Someone else at some point is going to have to step up for this team.
It feels that way, but you also have, I mean, there is the potential there too for, I mean, Julius now with a couple extra days, Jay with a couple extra days, that, I mean, they just have humongous nights. Like, you've seen Julius have a huge night against Miami. Like, they do, one of the your two best players has a big game and wins the game. Kind of like what Jimmy Butler did against Milwaukee.
You know, you could ask McCollum this, because this is interesting. What happens if they win game three, but it still goes to a game seven? Now do the Knicks win it or lose it?
Well, I think he'd give me the same answer, that they would lose it. I think he was just going, I don't think he wanted to answer the question, so he started pulling the percentages out.
Right. But why would they, so if they win game three, now they win game seven, but if they lose game three, then they lose game seven?
No, of course not.
Right. So I don't know. Doesn't really add up. Let's go to the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Brett in Brooklyn. Good morning, Brett. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Rob. We're going DiPietro, RJ. I just think that the whole cliche with the same old Knicks and Reggie Miller three-point shots and stuff like that is weighing heavy on these guys. If they would just breathe and play the game, I think they'll be fine. They're rushing their shots, and they're moving nervous. If they play with a little confidence, I think they'll be fine.
You think they're taking the court games one and two and thinking to themselves, boy, you know what, that Reggie Miller 8 points in 9 seconds really is weighing heavy on us.
Not really Reggie Miller, but just the whole cliche, same old Knicks. They're going to find a way to lose. If they have confidence, and I think their confidence is pretty shot right now because this is a big stage, they can't afford to lose any game. And having that pressure, Miami's not walking there with pressure. Miami's walking in there with, you know what, it's the Knicks. We could beat them.
I'm sure the Knicks. The Knicks had regular season success against Miami.
That's a terrible call. What is he saying? The Knicks have to win every game.
No, I think that's I think he was speaking to like the mindset of the players that you have to win every game.
A weird call.
Yeah, right. Because it's not. I mean, there's not players think like IQ's not thinking about Reggie Miller. What he's thinking about is is the enormity of the moment. Like, what's at stake? Like, and then you get out there and the place is going wild. I mean, it's
a
big
lot
of stuff. It's a lot to deal with.
It's a lot. Even though it's at your home court, it's still a lot. You know what? I don't know. Maybe Grimes and Quickly go on the road and it's still intense, but you get away from your home court and maybe some of the pressure that comes with playing at home, and maybe those guys are looser on the road in the series. I don't know.
Yeah, well, game five. I mean, the IQ game was game five, which is
on the road.
Which was in Cleveland. See, that was the thing that always was weird for me about the NBA, with the role players playing better at home. I always felt like there was so much less pressure on the road. Like, who cares if the road team, like the road fan base, boos you? They're supposed to boo you. I don't care.
Yeah, but I guess there's something like the familiarity of home, and you're buoed by your own crowd, right? You go out, you play well, and
I guess
just carry
you know the rims and everything else, but I don't know. I never felt like that.
Yeah, but that's always been the old adage, right? The role players play better at home.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.